Our top national story, you're hearing it. Rush Limbaugh is speaking out on his syndicated show about allegations that he's being investigated for illegally purchasing prescription drugs in Florida. He's also talking about his reasons for resigning from his self-described dream job at ESPN. The Limbaugh program continues right after this newscast.
AM station in Tulsa was so proud that the pig boy had been caught with a bunch of drugs and had made a big splash on the national headlines. Before the show came on, there were saying, oh, call all your friends, tell them the big Rush program's about to come on. Call your friends, email them, do whatever you can, tell them to listen in. This is the big show where Rush is going to talk all about his drug abuse.
Nothing's changed here, folks. Half my brain tied behind my back, just to make it fair.
Hey, pig boy, you want to make it fair, open the phones.
And again, utilizing talent on loan from God.
But Rush, are you sure your talent isn't dependent on hillbilly heroin?
So much of the email is about the ESPN situation.
Much of the mail is about ESPN, he says, but you know the vast majority is about his drug use, his illegal narcotics use, his felonious illegal narcotics use, buying street drugs from gangs, organized crime. That's what the pig boy stands for.
And I want to address that here. And I want to address some of the points that have been made and give you a little history of the whole timeline here. And give you a chance to react to this in the context of being fully informed.
But Pig Boy, if we heard what you said, why do we need to be fully informed to hear what you said? You said what you said. We heard it. What's to explain?
The thing that I think people misunderstand, there's a lot of the sports media today and others, well, ESPN should have known what they were getting when they hired him. Now, what is that?
Don't you just love the indignant knock on the table? What is that? Stupid idiot. Hey, pig boy, I'll tell you exactly what it is. The whole country knows that you're a racist son of a bitch. And when ESPN said we're going to hire a racist son of a bitch to come in on the games, everybody thought, well, why is ESPN hiring a racist son of a bitch? All he's going to do is make racist remarks. So why would they hire a racist son of a bitch to make racist remarks on a football game? And then when you did that, everybody said ESPN knew what they were getting, because they did.
They knew what they were getting. What were they getting?
You make it too easy, Rush. They're getting a racist son of a bitch. They're getting you.
Apparently the answer is that there's a stock answer to this, if you listen to the people who are asking the question. And apparently the stock answer is they were getting somebody provocative.
Well, that's one way of putting it. I thought my way was a little more succinct.
I was provocative, but that's not the purpose. That's not what I sought to be. I'm one of those people. I don't have to try to be provocative. Somehow, it just happens.
There he goes again with that thump on the desk. I don't try to be a racist. I just am.
You know, it's an amazing thing, but it just happens.
Listen to Rush the Vulgar Pig Boy doing his Porky Pig impression.
But it just happens. Now it's an important point. This is tantamount to saying they hired somebody to be outrageous. That's what this they knew what they were getting business me, and I am not oriented toward outrageousness.
Pig Boy, you're oriented towards unfairness, racism, picking on the little guy, being a bully, taking money from the scared old white men to defend them against the poor innocent little black kids.
And this comment that I made about McNabb and the Philadelphia sports media is not outrageous.
Maybe it wasn't outrageous in Nazi land, but as you can see in America, it was outrageous enough to get your Nazi ass fired.
It's only outrageous because some of the people who heard it have a speech code. And they have vowed they're not going to be forced to listen to that sort of stuff. And if they ever hear it, they're going to categorize it as something that is extreme or uncouth. But it wasn't outrageous. It was a total mainstream comment that you're free to agree with or disagree. They didn't want to take it on, didn't want to discuss it with me. They just wanted me to get out of the picture because of whatever effect the comment had on them.
I think what Rush is saying is his crowd liked it, but those uppity niggers didn't like it. And how's a man like Rush supposed to make some money if the uppity niggers aren't willing to bow down to him and accept what he says as gospel? What's wrong with those stupid niggers? Why don't they just wise up?
Anybody can be provocative. Anybody can be outrageous. It takes no talent and no skill to do that.
Rush, I agree it takes no talent to be outrageous and get into a bunch of race baiting in front of a microphone. But don't sell yourself short. You are the best I have ever seen at it. O'Reilly and Hannity and Savage and others, they are no Rush Limbaugh. You are the champion race baiter of all time. Well, maybe since in my lifetime, since, say, the mid-60s until the mid-2000s, Rush is the king of all race baiting. You are the master, Rush. You wear the crown.
My first real talk show job in Sacramento, the best advice I've ever been given. They said, yeah, we look for controversy here. This is at KFBK, and we'll back you to the hilt if you mean what you say. But if you're just going to go on the radio and say things to make people mad, if you're going to go on there, be outrageous for the sake of it, if you're going to go on the air just to say things that you don't even believe, you're just trying to tweak people, we're not going to support that.
Rush, we believe that you are a race-baiting Nazi. Maybe that radio station in San Francisco did, too. Maybe ESPN did. We know KABC does. We know the affiliates that run your show do. We believe in you, Rush. We hear you 3 hours a day screaming at the stupid niggers. We hear you 3 hours a day for 10, 15 years, Rush. We know what's in your heart. We know what's in your mind. We know you very, very well, Rush. We know that you stand behind your words. We know you are sincere.
I have no desire to say things I don't mean. I never have had, and I did not want to start now.
But Rush, where do you get the impression that we don't think you mean those hateful things you say? Of course we know you mean it. You mean every damn word you say, every hateful, spiteful, racist comment that comes out of your mouth, we know is sincere, so you can stop telling us now.
My point is to say things I believe, to bring my perspective. They brought me in for my perspective and my fandom of the league, not because I am some outrageous, polarizing figure.
Of course you're an outrageous, polarizing figure. The reason you were brought in ESPN is because half of America, almost, is a racist country. And they wanted to pull in some of your audience. They want to pull in some of those redneck KKK southern types that listen to you, Rush. It will increase their bottom line. And if they want to sell more Coca-Cola or more Goodyear tires or more Gillette shaving cream, they can do it. They can sell it to the Nazis like the BFEE. They don't mind making a little money doing some business with the Nazis. So just accept it, Rush.
This particular challenge involving Donovan McNabb and the Philadelphia sports media, there was an underlying theme to this challenge, and it was media bias in the sports media. Nobody ever talks about that but me, but it's plain as day that it's there. There is just as much left-wing media bias in the sports media as there is in the mainstream news media.
But, Rush, if you had only stuck to football, but no, you had to get right into race. That's your specialty, isn't it, Rush? That's how you made all your money. I guess you figured since you made the $300 million race baiting on the radio that you can make another $300 million race baiting on the TV. But it didn't work, Rush. You screwed up. You lost everything. You showed your ass on national TV. You proved to the nation you were a Nazi racist whore, and now you got fired. You have to live with that, Rush. You have to live with the fact that you finally had your dream come true, and you had to let racism push your dream out the damn window, and it crashed about 40 stories below, and it's not coming back, Rush. Get used to it. You fucked up.
And I was simply making that opinion known. Now, people don't like it, don't agree with it. Fine, talk to me about it and tell me I'm full of it or what have you.
Okay, Rush, I'll do that. You're full of it. You're full of shit. You're full of Nazi hate. You're full of division. You're full of everything that ABC and ESPN doesn't need on their football broadcast. Feel better?
By the way, as I mentioned, there's actually a column that ran on Slate, and I've posted it on the website, too, that actually backs up every point that I made.
Well, check out the big brain on Rush. When he was done with his Nazi diatribe and got fired on national TV, he had his people scour the Internet to find somebody somewhere that would agree with him. And if you scour the Internet long enough, you will find someone that agrees with you no matter what you believe. So, yes, Rush was successful. He found a guy who said, Rush, you're right. Congratulations, pig boy.
We've got a new rule called the Rooney Rule, which is designed to interview black assistant head coaches and get them jobs. By the way, nobody said anything about my essay on that 3 weeks ago, which I came out and sympathetically defended black coaches with this rule and hoped that they wouldn't end up being used as pawns.
Oh, please. Rush, the vulgar, race-baiting pig boy is going to come to the aid of the black man because it's not fair the way the black man's being treated. So Rush is going to show up and fix things? Jesus Christ, who the hell believes that, Rush? What kind of idiot are you?
You know, nobody cited that, as they wanted to say that I had introduced race into this picture in a negative way. Nobody cited the fact that Tom Jackson and Michael Irvin did not react on the spot. Nobody reacted on the spot when I said what I said last Sunday.
Well, guess what, Rush? Michael Irvin says you're lying. Irvin said, quote, Tommy first responded with comments about football, Irvin said. The premise of our show is football, and I've heard Rush himself say, keep it to football, no politics. So when Rush did make those comments, we kept it to football. I didn't know what he was saying was out of bounds. I'm a rookie, Irvin says. We didn't have much time after that to say anything. The segment is timed down to the second, and the producers were saying in my ear, wrap it up, wrap it up. So, Rush, according to Michael Irvin, there was no time for them to say everything. It was timed down to the second, and you closed the segment with that, and he had no chance to jump in there as a rookie and say, hey, excuse me, hold on, hold on. So for you to try to use Irvin's silence as tacit approval of your Nazi race-baiting comments, it's just another excuse. It's just another way for Rush to weasel out from what he said, trying to have others speak for him that don't want to speak for him. Michael Irvin speaking for you is like a chicken speaking for Colonel Sanders, you race-baiting bastard.
I have a fine relationship with both of those men, Michael Irvin and Tom Jackson. I consider both of them to have become friends.
Nazi, please. Don't give us that, oh, I'm friends with the black man bullshit. I'm surprised Irvin didn't stand up and just pop you on top of your head, give you a big-ass pot nut right on top of your head, maybe an uppercut, knock a few of them expensive caps out of your mouth.
I've discussed life with both of them. I've discussed things that might happen in the future. We've sat down and discussed those things that new friends discussed, you know, finding areas of commonality.
Rush, I think you might have me on this one. It goes without saying that if you spoke with a black man without saying, up yours, nigger, you probably are truly, truly a patron. You're probably just exactly what Martin Luther King had in mind when he said, let's all join hands.
There hasn't been 1 ounce of friction between me and anybody else on this staff. Yet that didn't show up. It was just assumed that I'm, whatever I am, conservative, and so whatever I say is automatically going to offend certain people of a certain race, and none of this is true.
Well, none of it's true except for the fact that we all heard you say it, and then after we all heard you say it, your boss fired you for saying it. But besides those two things, none of it's true, right, Rush?
You know, let me put it this way. The heat didn't arrive until Tuesday when the Philadelphia print media had a cow. There were at least 4 publications in Philadelphia that just went nuts over this. Some of them were just raving lunatics. I mean, you ought to read these stories and listen to how you and this audience are categorized and characterized.
Hey, pig boy, get something straight. Your audience didn't say anything offensive. Your audience couldn't say anything offensive. They don't have a microphone with an ESPN written across the side of it. Don't drag your audience into this. Besides being gullible fools and, yes, racist themselves, your audience didn't do any of this. Your audience supports you, and that's half a crime, but don't drag your audience into this. They didn't fuck this up. You fucked it up.
How I am characterized. I have a twisted view of America.
Well, that's the first time I've ever heard you admit it, Rush, but I'm glad you did. You know, admitting your mistake is the first step on the long road back. And if you admit that you're a pompous fool with a twisted view of America and a race-baiting Nazi, we might let you back in. Not.
They think I have a twisted view of America because I'm conservative. I don't even know how many of these guys that wrote these big pieces on Tuesday have even bothered to listen to this program.
Here we go with another Rush tried-and-true favorite. Anyone that doesn't agree with Rush must not have ever listened to his program. Well, guess what, Nazi? I've listened to you probably more than 95% of most Americans every day, maybe not so much the last 6-8 months, but every day for the last 10 years that I've been in an office from 1 to 4 Oklahoma K-Drag time, you've come on the radio, and I jot down little things. That's how I put my little website together. We start out Rush Limbaugh, Lion, Nazi, Whore, and then we expanded our horizons when we got sick of you. But the idea that anyone that disagrees with you must be a stranger is horseshit. I've listened to you, and you're full of crap, and I'm calling you on it right now. One other thing. He sort of mentioned it, but he starts whining about the Philadelphia writers that must be the ultra-leftist liberal elite. And one of the people he screams at is this guy. I don't know how to say his name. It's Joe Saraceno, probably. He's a columnist for USA Today. And he said, I've been reading this guy for probably, I don't know how long he's been with him, maybe 10 years or so. I read this guy's column all the time in the sports page. But you know, it's funny. I don't know this Joe Saraceno's politics because he doesn't bring race into football. He doesn't bring race into sports when he writes. Get it, Rush? He's still got a job. You get that, Rush? Anyway, what this Joe Saraceno says is, answering the vulgar pig boys charge, quote, many sports writers I know are to the right of Ann Coulter. It's rather dubious for Limbaugh to say we've overrated McNabb so we can validate our claims that blacks were denied equal opportunity for decades, which, of course, in fact, is not mere assertion. So where's the logic in Rush's preconceived notions? Rush wants to think anyone that doesn't agree with him is on the left fringe, but the truth is Rush is on the right fringe and Adolf Hitler's to his left.
At first, ESPN, the management there is fabulous. They are vigorously defending me, and they put out this statement that says this is being misunderstood, and no racial intent here at all, which there wasn't.
Nazi, please, that's how you got your job. You got those $300 million, and your 20 million listeners spread over a week, not a day, you liar, because you're a race-baiting pig boy, and they love that. The racist people in America love to hear their racism reinforced, so they turn on the EIB every weekday to be told again and again it's okay to hate the niggers and the faggots. That's why Rush is rich.
And then it started going downhill. Behind the scenes, something was happening, and that is Tommy Jackson, who I love, and Michael Irvin is working extremely hard at being as good as he can get on this program, as good as he can be, and he's succeeding at it. Steve Young, Chris Berman, these guys are just the best at what they do. And they welcomed me to this show, and they didn't have any questions. They didn't have any problems at all.
That would lead me to one of two conclusions, Rush, if they had no problem with you or your show. That would be A, they have never heard your show, or B, they have so much money that they would rather sacrifice their race, their brothers, their cause, to make more money. They got to have that tax cut. Michael Irvin, the poor guy. See, I don't know Michael's part of this, but I'm saying maybe he doesn't know Rush, or maybe he's got so much money he wants a tax cut and fuck the rest. I got mine. Let them get theirs. It's one of the two. We've seen Michael Irvin on the field, and he is one fiery son of a bitch. He has just got as much emotion and drive as anyone I've ever seen on the field, and I can't imagine he would just sit there and let the pig boy spew on like this. Maybe it's a money issue, maybe he doesn't know you, Rush, but I'll bet it's one of the two.
When they didn't respond to me on this show on Sunday and the media firestorm hit, apparently I've been told that they started getting beaten up by their friends.
I would imagine that's true, and as has been previously explained, Michael Irvin said he had no chance to respond to you, pig boy. He said, you closed out the segment, and he's the new guy with the producer screaming, wrap it up in his ear. He had no chance to respond to you. So, as the show goes dark, his friends are sitting at home going, Mike, come back and pop that son of a bitch. Give him a good one upside the head. Oh, and Rush, if you're going to call Michael Irvin a liar, do me a favor and do it in person, would you, buddy?
Tom Jackson particularly was named to me as being unhappy, but Michael Irvin and others were apparently really getting hammered by their people for letting me get away with that.
Pig boy, get it through your fat, thick head. People were offended when you go after a guy because of his race. You couldn't stick to football. No, you had to go right to the race issue. A couple days ago, Joe Connison said, the big surprise was that it took you 4 weeks to bubble over with your racism, you pig.
They didn't want to be cast in this role. I mean, they want to just do football.
Well, of course they just wanted to do football. What are you, stupid pig boy? I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt here. If you can produce some kind of evidence that the ESPN people told you to mix some politics into this, then we would give you a third of a pass. I mean, I can't give you the whole pass because you're a Nazi and you got to pay for that with the other two-thirds. But if they said, Rush, let's talk football, and then you brought race into this, you're a triple bastard. But if they said, Rush, why don't you bring in some of that Nazi hate you're famous for, and you did, and then they fired you for it, well, yeah, I'd give you a third of the benefit of the doubt, pig boy. So why don't you show us some proof? What a stupid thing to say. The others at the football program wanted to talk football, and I wanted to race bait some guy in Philadelphia. You idiot! What's wrong with you?
They don't want to mess with this other stuff. That's not what they do. They're not comfortable with it.
They don't want to mess with this other stuff. That's not what they do. They're not comfortable with it. Can you believe he said those words? The other three or four on the panel don't want to get in a bunch of nasty-ass race baiting. That's not what they do. They're not comfortable with it. They want to do football. But the vulgar pig boy wants to do the nasty-ass race baiting. Pig boy, you're much better at hanging yourself than I am. I'm a spectator here. All I'm doing is listening to you hang yourself, you idiot.
And they, you know, let's face it, folks. I mean, every day of my existence on this program has been related to or shrouded in controversy. They haven't been and don't want to be.
Rush, maybe they should have put you in some hermetically sealed room. You could be some kind of Nazi bubble boy so your Nazism and racism wouldn't infect the others. That's probably what they should have done. Instead of giving you your own separate little table over there, like the kids' table at the Thanksgiving dinner, they should have had you in a whole separate booth, kind of like Robin Quivers on the Howard Stern Show, just so you wouldn't infect the others with your pessimism and your hatred for all the minorities in this country.
So it takes getting used to. I didn't first 2 or 3 years or even longer. It was tough for me, too. I said, why am I doing this? Nobody ever hated me before I started this. Now all I'm doing is telling people what I think, and half the people that hear me hate my guts.
Are you sure it's just half, Rush? I'm thinking it's more like, let's say there's 280 million Americans and you have 4 million a day listen to you out of 4 out of 280 million, that's 1/70th. So that'd be about 1.5%. Pig boy, you got an approval rating of 1.5%. That's a whole lot lower than Larry Flint had in the California primary. Just think, Rush, one day you might be as popular as Larry Flint running for governor.
And nobody ever thought I was all these horrible things before, but...
But, Rush, that's just because they didn't know you. Once they got to know you, the hatred came right away. It was very clear, very full, very fervent. All they had to do was get to know you a little bit, buddy. Then they hate you.
You know, you learn. There's a price to pay.
Pig boy, you gonna cry for us? You gonna cry for us, pig boy? Oh, it's so sad. Everybody hates my Nazi ass. Oh, it's so sad. Oh, it's so terrible. Tell you what, Rush, if you would just break down bawling on your show, a whole shitload of 30 minutes of boo-hoo-hoo, woe is me, I'll go $1,000 to any charity you want. I would love to hear it. Rush, are you having a bad week? Is that what this is about? The whole nation has branded you a Nazi slut? And you got fired, and on top of that, you got arrested for illegal narcotics, probably trafficking in illegal narcotics. You know what kind of life you're going to have in prison, Rush? You know how many brothers are in prison, Rush? You know how bad it's going to be in prison, Rush? They're going to pass you around like they passed around Paula Jones down in Arkansas. It's going to be awful, Rush. Hey, Rush, I got a little tip for you. You ready for a little tip? After you're sentenced, tell them you need one day off. Use your power, use your money, use your connections. You've got to have one day off. What you need to do, Rush, go to your dentist and have your front teeth removed. Trust me on this. You would rather have your dentist remove them than your cellmate Bubba using the iron bars on the door of your cell. Trust me on this, buddy. I'm looking out for you. Rush, in prison, you're going to be more popular than Britney Spears. You're going to be the Britney Spears of Cell Block D, Rush. Trust me. They know you're coming. They're waiting for you. The hootin's going to start the second you show your fat ass in prison. You better get them teeth removed, or they're going to do it for you. Squeal like a piggy! Squeal like a piggy! Oh, I'm going to love to see it, Rush. Rush, can I come visit you in prison, huh? Can I, Rush? Can I, huh?